Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
And I'm on. Hallelujah.
Shalom, saints. Hallelujah. It is a blessing to be here sharing with you this morning. Not just those of you who are here in the sanctuary, but also those who are tuning in online. And iChurch stream is going on right now in English and in Spanish. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Thank you. Let's give him praise for that. Going out throughout the world. And so we want to be mindful of that. We thank you for tuning in as well. If you can go in your word, this ministry is about the word. It is about the power that is in the word. It's not about denomination, religion, tradition. It's not about any of that. It's about what's real, and what's real is truth. And that's why we consider ourselves the Church for Truth Seekers. Any truth seekers in the house? Yeah, I just want to know what his word is saying and speaking. So if we go to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. So I'm on a new topic that is still connected because it's all connected. We were talking about kingdom, accessing his greatness, what it means to be a part of his kingdom, what he's expecting of us in this. And he's just been dealing with me now that we know what we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to be. There needs to be some reconstruction. Because now that we understand what the archetype is, the architecture, the design should be, and then when we compare that to what we are, there needs to be some renovation. Even to the point of, I remember years ago, and I don't know if my dad remembers. It's funny how our lives are kind of mirrored. He was in real estate. I was in real estate. He's a pastor, was a pastor. I'm a pastor. I guess I've just been following the design, right? But I remember years ago, when he was in real estate, he went to this house, and it was either we were thinking about purchasing or somebody we knew was thinking about purchasing. I think it was somebody we knew was thinking about purchasing. And beautiful house. But the problem was that the foundation was cracked. And because the foundation was cracked, you had to pretty much take the house up, and you had to, which was an expensive process, extreme, almost not worth it. Almost like bulldoze the thing down and just do something over again, but you couldn't do nothing with the house because the foundation was no good. And a lot of us, our foundation is no good. It's just no good. We're trying to build some spiritual stuff on it, and it's just no good because for some of us, never was good from the beginning. And we were supposed to rebuild, but we didn't. We kept on trying to patch. Patch don't work. Something's wrong with the foundation. But let me say, we know who we're supposed to be. And what he's calling for in this day is for us to be who he's called us to be. And if that means that we need to tear some stuff down, we're going to tear it up. And it's better for you to recognize it yourself and you to work on it before it's brought to your attention. And you won't have no choice but to work on it, because we've got to get this right. The world is depending on you kingdom people to get this right. Do you see the destruction and the craziness going on in the world today? It's the perilous times. And he told us there would be perilous times, but we're supposed to rise above that. And we're supposed to be examples of the kingdom, and we're supposed to get this kingdom message out to as many people as we possibly can. But one of the problems is we need renovation. We need to get some stuff right. So I'm going to talk about spiritual architecture and design for life. Spiritual architecture and design for life, because we've got to build this. There's too much at stake. And I don't think we have any idea what's at stake. I don't think we have a clue. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of move into this. Ephesians, the second chapter in the 10th verse says, "For we might be his workmanship." Let me read that again. So we could be his. We are. Then why are we acting like we could be? Or why are we acting like we might be? He's saying this definitively, that we are. Translated to you, I am. So say, I am. His workmanship. That means he has some work to do. He worked some stuff out. He's trying to change some stuff. He's trying to take some walls down. You say, oh no. Don't hold up. Don't take that. Wait a minute. Don't move that. Hey, have you ever been to somebody's house where they got a bunch of junk? Wait, are you with me? They got a bunch of junk. Maybe the house got junk in it. And I don't mean to be disrespectful of your house, but some stuff you don't need. And if you don't need it, I consider that junk. I had junk. And so then garages, closets, you even got corners. You can't even sleep in the bed because there's... And so then, you know, you say, oh, I got to clean up. So somebody comes and helps you. And then you like, oh, let me throw that. And they're like, no. Don't throw that away. I might need that. But it's been there for 15 years and they've never touched it. Right? But they say, no, one day I'm going to use it. But they said that 15 years ago. And they never use it, but can't sleep in the bed. Can't get new clothes in the closet. Why have a garage when you can't pull a car up into it? It makes no sense. Why are we holding on to that stuff? And so that's what we're doing. God, Yahweh, is trying to tell us, hey, I'm getting, no, and you're like, no, well, no, do I have to? Do I need to move that? This looks like a perfectly good. But it ain't perfectly good. It's junk. I don't know about you, but I want him to change it. I want him to, if it has to be torn down, tear it down. It has to be rebuilt, rebuild it. because there's too much at stake. And so it says we are his workmanship. So is your life reflecting his workmanship? Can people look at your life and say, whoa, that's a great example of kingdom workmanship, of God's, Yahweh's handiwork? Can he say that? If he can't say that, some work needs to be done. And so it says we are his workmanship, created in Mashiach Yeshua unto messed up works, bad works. Then why we got bad works? Why do we have some stuff that's just not right? So if that means we are his workmanship and we're not what he needs us to be, that means work must be done. And guess who's going to do? You got to let him do the work, and you have to commit to the work. And then you got work to do. Say, I got work to do. There's too much at stake. I keep saying that. Maybe you need to say it. There's too much at stake. We don't realize what's at stake. And so we've been created under good works, which God, Yahweh, hath ordained that we should walk in them. Ordained. You can't get away from ordained. It is the blueprint. It is the way it must go. Here at the city in Long Beach, there was some stuff that we wanted to do, but they was like, no, you must do it this way. We said, well, what if we do it this way? Then you're going to have to tear it down and you're going to have to do it over again. What'd you say? Yeah. That's cold, but it's the truth. You have built up some stuff that he has not ordained. He didn't ordain it. But you, in your mind, or what you thought, or how you felt, decided to be the architect of your life. And now you're in a position where it doesn't work. It's not adequate. That means it must be torn down. Because it's not ordained. Once again, I say, I don't know about you, but I want a design that's ordained by him. I want a blueprint that's ordained by him. Because check this out. Something is going to design your life. And it's only one of two. Either Yahweh is going to design your life, or the enemy, Satan, not Satan, is going to design your life. Which design do you want to go with? Because you might, oh no, I'm in control of my life. I'm doing me. You really think you doing you? Where are those thoughts and ideas and suggestions coming from? They're coming straight from the enemy world. You think that you're in control, but you really not. You're following somebody's instructions. And either you're following his instructions, Yahweh's instructions, or you're following. And if you're not following his instructions by default, say by default. Well, I think, I feel. Oh, really? Well, if we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, what are your thinking and your feeling getting you? Where is that shaped in? I mean, can we talk? Now, I'm not perfect. I got stuff to work out too. But don't you sit there and think you perfect. If I'm standing here telling you I'm not perfect, then you sure ain't perfect. You got some stuff to work out too. We all got stuff to work out. But hallelujah, he's given us the tools and the power to work it out. And the difference in my imperfection and yours is that I'm willing to yield to him and let him work it out. What about you? Are you willing to yield? So this kind of messes us up because it says we are his workmanship. That means the responsibility of me being a demonstration of his workmanship is on me. Can I say, as I stand here and as you sit there, are we his workmanship for real? Are we doing the good works for real? Are we walking in the ordained way for real? It's time to stop playing church, dude. It's time to stop playing this thing and pretending. Either you're going to walk the walk and talk the talk, or you're going to sit down. We got to do it. There's too much at stake. What's at stake? I made a list of some things, and maybe you can add some stuff, but definitely don't take nothing away. But let's show that list. The kingdom is at stake. Because if you are a demonstration of his kingdom, and if you're not representing his kingdom, then the way the kingdom looks is at stake. Because he's depending on you to represent him. So that means that I need to rebuild the way I'm representing him in the kingdom. Some stuff needs to be torn down. And some of us think that we represent him in kingdom stuff, but it's not real. It's our design and not the way he wanted to design it. So if I don't get this right, the kingdom is at stake. If I don't get this right, my life is at stake. The very life that I lead, what's going on with my life? This life is at stake, and the afterlife. See, you don't know what's at stake because you don't act like you know. You do a lot of talk. You talk a good game. But when the rubber meets the road and you alone by yourself, you and him, can you say that you got this right? I know you, you know, when everybody's around, oh, you'll praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Praise Yahweh. But what's going on behind the eyeballs? What's going on in the dark when all these people are not looking at you? Where are you driving to? What are you smoking? What are you drinking? Father said, well, there's too much at stake. So the kingdom's at stake. How I rep the kingdom is at stake. My life is at stake. Because people are watching my life. I'm living, supposed to be living a life designed by him. I'm his workmanship. My health is at stake. My health. You know, stress is a killer. Anxiety is a killer. It can change your whole body chemistry. He told you to cast your cares upon him because he cares for you, but you're trying to live this triple life. I didn't say double life. I'm talking about triple. It takes a lot of brain power to lie three different ways. Trying to keep that together. Ooh, what did you tell so-and-so? Well, no, I thought you said, what I meant was, so in that not living your life right, my health is at stake. Do you know you're shaving like years off of your life by lying and sneaking and creeping? Okay. Let me get off of that. But let me tell you something. I'm just giving you an overview. I'm going to hit each of these with some more clarity. But I'm about to show you what we're about to jump into. And we're talking about blueprint and archetype for our life. And you're letting Yahweh deal with all these areas that are at stake. Are the kingdom, our life, our health, our family. If you don't get this right, your family is at stake. Not just you. I'm single. I'm my family. Oh, really? Well, single woman or single brother, folks is looking at you. And maybe your family will be saved, but they say, no, you know what? They live in ratchet life. There's nothing in that for me. I got a real cool kingdom brother who, he's at another ministry, but you know, he's on fire. He's been on fire for years. But he was tatted in his former life. I mean, he tat, 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 rat, tat, 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 make your neck snap back. He had tattoos just like woof, woof, woof. And he came into the kingdom. So he was like, I kind of did this to myself, but it's a reminder to me, like, what I came out of. But, you know, he's changed me. And so there was another pastor who was like, hey, I want to get some tats. And he said, excuse me? Yeah, I want to get some. I see you got tats. He was like, dude, I came to the church to come out of this. And when I come to church, I expected that there would be a difference between what I came out of and what I'm going to. And so if you're thinking that you are encouraging me right now, you're hurting me right now. Oh, I'm sorry. He thought he was down. But pastor, you want to get tatted up? And this brother came out of this life? This is what I'm trying to tell you. People don't want, you're supposed to be an example of what you could be, what they can be. And if they look at you and you doing the same stuff that they were doing in the world, they're like, miss me with that. I don't need that. If this is what it's like, I can stay in the state that I'm in. So your family is looking at you. If you say, I go to church, 3960 East Gilman Street, 3CLA, but you was in the night bar breaking it down. I mean, so you said, Pastor Tom can break it down? I mean, but if people see that, they're like, kingdom world, I don't know the difference. So therefore, the family's at stake. There's like, I don't want. So some people that could be saved in your family, they don't want no part of it. Your church is at stake. We're dependent on you. You got gifts that God, Yahweh, has given you. You've got some talents that he's given you to do it. And if you're going to just not work in it or throw it away or not be obedient, the church is at stake. Because Yahweh, we're the body. We're the body of Mashiach. All of us, we serve a purpose. And if you're not going to do your kingdom responsibility, the church is at stake. There's something that we're doing going without. Your future is at stake. What's happening tomorrow? You out there skinning and grinning, tomorrow's not promised. Let me say that again. You out there skinning and grinning, tomorrow's not promised. What is your future going to look like? There's some future blessings. Check this out. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men. The what? How many? What kind of things? The things that he's what? Prepared for who? For us, those that love him, that are called what? According to his purpose, not yours. So if eyes have not seen, that means, ooh, there's some stuff that he wants to set me up with that I have not even seen yet. Oh, but if I, hold on. He can manifest some stuff. But then, if I'm skinning and grinning, well, I ain't seen it. And guess what? I ain't gonna see it. At least if I'm serving him and he says, my eyes have not seen it yet, I know it's coming. But if he says, you ain't seen it and you not serving him, you ain't never gonna see it. Yeah, your eyes have not seen and your eyes will never see what he has prepared for you. So your future is what? Your destiny, your purpose. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, you're not gonna find it at Club 35. You're not gonna find it in the Buddha tie. Somebody didn't get that. You're not gonna find it in the weed smoking. Yeah, you might as well say, I'm looking for my purpose. Why are you taking a drag? You're not gonna find it in the bottle of Alizé. Let me make it plainer. You're not gonna find it in Code 45. Somebody didn't get it. You're not gonna find it in Mad Dog 2020. You're not gonna find it in Boone's Farm. Sometimes we're looking for destiny and purpose and we all up in those things. Okay. What about your knowledge and your foundation? What about that? That's a stake. But you know, he said this, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, but what? Make you free. Because if you set free, you're bound to get caught again. But if you're made free, hey, you're gonna stay free. Your mind and your thinking is at stake. He says, I have given you what? I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you what? Power and love and what? There are believers out here losing their minds because they're not walking this walk. They're losing their minds. This is what's at stake. And all this applies to you. Who is designing your life for knowledge? Who is designing your life for design and purpose? Who is designing your life for the future? Who is designing your life for the church? Who is designing your life for the family? Who is designing your life for health? Who is designing your life, period? Who is designing your life for the kingdom? Whoever is designing it is the one that's having influence on it. And who's having influence on these things in your life? Your skills are at stake. Your character and your integrity. Are you a liar? I never lie. Okay, what do those 2015 taxes say? How many dependents are you carrying when you ain't got no kids? Do you know that your character and your integrity is having effect on the foundation of your life, on the design of your life. Yeah, you might not tell lies out of your mouth, but you write them down on paper. A paper lie is a lie. A text lie is a lie. An email lie is a lie. Just as if it had come directly out of your mouth. This is a lie of omission, meaning that you leave stuff out because you want to paint it away. A lie of omission is a lie. Oh, I forgot about that part. That's affecting the design of your life. Why? You can't seem to get ahead in some stuff because you have not considered the list. Your finances are at stake. Some of y'all already know that. How do you know? Because you don't have any finances. Everyone should have a savings. Kingdom people should have a kingdom savings. But I dare say, if I had the audacity to tell you to raise your hand if you had a savings, don't do it. He said that he wants us to prosper as our soul prospers. It's not all about prosperity, but man, you should have at least $100 saved. Well. If you don't have no savings, where's the prosperity? Where's the abundance? You kingdom, right? Cattle on 1,000 hills is his. He's rich in housing and land. He holds the power of the world in his hands. Somebody asks you, I'm blessed and highly favored. Highly favored? Your finances are at stake. It's getting real quiet in here. So I'm asking you, if one of these things is not right, you need to rebuild. I dare say, how many got one? How many got two? How many got three or four? You're supposed to have it all. We serve a God that all of this is available to him, to us if we submit to him. All of this, all of it. He's not going to hold anything back from you because he said you are his workmanship. So if I'm his workmanship, these are all the things that I should be demonstrating. And if I'm not demonstrating, something needs to get fixed. My question to you is, are you willing to get it fixed? Because are you willing? Yeah. It's funny. First thing I hear is, pity, pity, pat, 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 pity, pity, pat, pat, and then it starts to grow. But some folks are not sure. That may be the death of you, if you're not sure. You got to be sure that you want him. And you're going to yield to him in all of these things because there's too much at stake. Give you one example and then I'm going to take you to a scripture real quick. Your mind thinking. Some of us are messed up in our minds because there's some past hurts. There's some unforgiveness. My uncle did this, or when I was 5 years old, and you're carrying that. He wants to deliver you from that. He wants to free you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I want my mind to be free. But if I don't give him that, I'm carrying it. Some of us are carrying loads we don't have no business carrying. We're carrying stuff from 1989 or 1979 or 85 or 66. Stuff that we should have already yielded to him and let him free us from and deliver us from. But yet and still, it is 2017 and we have not yet released it to him, and we've been saved for 30 years. And we're lacking in these areas, and we wonder what's going on because you haven't yielded him everything. He wants it all. He wants you to give him your all. He wants your whole mind. He wants your whole life. Why are we even in this state? It started in Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. And when he created the heavens and the earth, he creates man and woman in the garden. And then, of course, man sins. You can try to blame it on woman, but man was supposed to do what he was supposed to do. And so they both get kicked out the garden. It really didn't matter whose fault it was at that point. They both got to go. And so, you know, man lives on the earth and he gets caught up in his own desires, right? And so as we get caught up in our own desires and pleasures and lust, which is what happened when man was kicked out of the garden. And you know what? Yahweh says, I'm tired of man. I'm going to wipe him out. So Noah's like, don't do it. I'll find those that are worthy to stay, God, and change. And then Noah and his family get saved through the flood. But then Yahweh destroys the rest of the world. So you think that now we're about to build this thing up again. But then through Noah and his descendants around Genesis chapter 11, Abram comes along. And then Yahweh calls Abram separate from his people. And he says, I'm going to give you a nation. I'm going to give you a plan. And I'm going to give you a blessing. And then he turns his name to Abraham. And then the whole Jewish faith, Hebrew, is built around this promise of Genesis 12 chapter. Then what happens? We have that, and then time goes on, and then people do the same thing. They get caught in but their lusts and their desires and what they want to do, and they stray away from Yahweh, and they're more concerned with themselves. And then Yahweh would do things to bring them back to their senses, and then what happens? They drift off again. So Abraham's family kind of drifts off, and then they end up in slavery in Egypt, Mizraim. And so then Yahweh saves them out of Egypt, brings them through the Red Sea with Moshe, right? And then Moshe takes the people and he gives them the Torah that he got from the Mount, right? And then Yahweh says, here you go. You'll try this. Then they get more concerned with themselves and start wandering again. They get backtracked. So Yahweh puts them in check, but in that check, it takes them 40 years to get it right. They're wandering around for 40 years. So finally, they make it to the promised land by a name of Joshua or Yehoshua. Where my Yehoshua at? And then Yahweh warns him about this bad habit. Yo, you guys got a bad habit of, like, you know, saying that you're going to serve me, and then you get caught up in your own stuff again and being self-consumed. But guess what happened? He leaves them out, and they get kept self-consumed. They start wandering again. And then they don't listen. So then there's a period in the book of Judges where they again get their heads bumped. So then they demand a king. Okay, if you give us a king, we'll get this together. Right? So then he gives them Saul. Right? And but Saul, he got caught up in some stuff. So then Saul is out. He puts David in place, and David is a good king. But then David got some issues, and so he wanders kind of away. And Yahweh said, David is a man after my own heart. But then David got caught up. So then David dies, and then his son Solomon takes over. And Solomon's all right, but Solomon does his own wandering. In 1 Samuel, it says Solomon loved God. And then in chapter 11, it says Solomon loved many foreign women. see the... So then they end up in, some of them in the South and some of them in the North, and you have some good, you know, children somewhat in the North. And so then bottom line is they end up 70 years in exile in Babylon. Then he uses pagan kings to restore them back to their homeland finally. So now they're back at home. But they got to rebuild. The temple was in ruin, so they got to rebuild the temple. There was a wall that was surrounding Jerusalem. But the wall got torn down and the wall was in ruins. And so the fact that their homestead was in ruins was an example of what was going on with them. He had given them everything, but yet, still, they had some rebuilding to do. Y'all, you think you got everything together, but you got some rebuilding to do. So that's what he did. They built the temple, but then what are we going to do about this wall? The wall was supposed to be protection. The wall was supposed to show the integrity of the people, yet the wall was all torn down. So then that brings us to Nehemiah. So go to Nehemiah. The fourth chapter. Man, why do we keep doing the same thing over and over again? Ever since the garden, we keep on saying, oh, we're going to serve you, God, and then we get caught up. I'm going to serve you, then caught up. Then I'm going to serve you, then caught up. When are we just going to serve him and let him catch us up? Him get us all caught up. Again, I'm not trying to holler at you. I'm excited about what's possible. I'm almost done because I'm just trying to open this up today. So Nehemiah, 4th chapter, 6th verse. But first, go to Nehemiah, the 2nd chapter first and the 17th verse. Go to Nehemiah 2:17. I'm coming back to 4:6. But let's go to 2:17. I shouldn't hear a lot of flipping. It's only two chapters away. Okay, so he says, then I say unto them, you see the distress that we are in? How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire? Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach, that we be no more in distress, that we be no more in ruins. Let's build it up. Build them again. I'm telling the church, sometimes we look at the ruins of what we should have been. Time is winding up. Can we build again? Can we rise up? Can we get out of this distress? Because look, there's stuff lying in waste. There are people dying and stuff. But go to 4:6, and I'm going to leave you with this. This is one quiet Sunday. But I know it would be because we got some tearing down to do. But the beauty is in that tearing down, we got some building up. We got some building up. And so Nehemiah 4th chapter says, so build we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. Do you have a mind to work? Do you have a mind to build? Do you have a mind to renovate this whole life that we've been living, this kingdom thing? Do you have a mind to say, Yahweh, I don't know everything. I cannot begin to know, but I trust you with my life. I yield my life to you. I give it to you. Fix it. But you have to have a mind for that. It says that the wall was built. But dude, the wall doesn't just jump up and build itself. Pick up a brick, somebody. Help a brother out. You gotta, don't get this idea that you can just cruise and everybody else is gonna build the wall. Get up and get a brick. And if we all get a brick, then the wall will be built. But I got about a bunch of people over here that got bricks, and the rest of them is watching the bricks. Oh yeah, you know, that look a little heavy. Why you got so many bricks? But you sitting down, you ain't even got no brick. When are the people of the kingdom gonna rise up and help us build this thing? We can't build it by ourselves. It takes all of us. Where are the kingdom people at? Hallelujah. I'm here, Father. I'll build. Father Yahweh, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Our desire should be that we want to see your kingdom expanded. Our desire should be that there's evidence of us being your workmanship, your handiwork. We understand you don't see that all the time demonstrated by us. So we humbly come, even today. You said the people had a mind to work, a mind to build. Father, we're here this morning. We have a room of people that I have the faith and believe that we that are standing here in your presence, we have a mind to serve you. We have a mind to worship you. We have a mind to trust you. We have a mind to believe in you. But it takes a made up mind. There's so much at stake. Your very kingdom, your church, our families, our lives. So many aspects. But we can't trust you with just one aspect. We've got to trust you with everything. We got to give it all to you. We got to release all to you. We got to submit all to you. So we come. Forgive us, Father, if we haven't had a mind before. We desire to see your kingdom expanded. We desire to see you glorified. You said if you be lifted up, you would draw all mankind unto yourself. And our desire, Father Yahweh, is to see you lifted up. But it takes us lifting you up. It takes us proclaiming you. It takes us demonstrating you. It takes us calling your name, spreading your gospel throughout the world. It takes us. That is the lifting. So, we submit. Even throughout the course of this day, throughout the course of this week, minister to us how we can submit all, how you can fix all. We want you to be the architect of our life. We want you to design it. We want you to take down what needs to be taken down. We want you to build up what needs to be built up. We need you to change the foundation if that foundation needs to be fixed. Rearrange us, change us, transform us. We love you, and we know that you love us, because throughout the course of history, you keep showing us, you keep loving us, you keep making a way for us, you keep loving on us, you keep making a way. You even gave your only begotten Son for us, that whosoever will believeth in Yeshua would not be lost, but would have and obtain everlasting life. So we thank you. We love you. We praise you. In Yeshua's matchless name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could just be seated one more, just a few more seconds, and bow your heads, please, because